That's the last chapter, and we're going to be about halfway down in verse 13. Now, this is one of those areas, this is, in fact, if you were to do a search on Bible verses about moms in Scripture, I believe this one probably would show up. But it is a little bit of a sort of backdoor way into looking at moms, because really what Isaiah is writing about here is not moms. He's using the image of the mom to point us toward God, but to be clear, this is not Isaiah celebrating the role of a mother. So it's a little different that we're choosing today to look at this passage, paying attention to what Isaiah says, but also understanding that the image that he paints is one that's worth spending some time thinking about. And what is that? Well, it's this. God has put himself into the image of what we see both in the father figure. We've got that one. That one's easy. But he also displays himself through the image of the mother. And so what we see is really, and I don't want to shock any of you, but I hope you realize this, God can't be defined or summed up in either a role from a male or the role for a female. He really is neither one of those. And he chooses to reveal himself as the father figure, but let's be clear, God also can be seen in the role of the mother figure. In fact, if both of those roles, stick with me here, are created in the image of God, we know that we are, but those roles are created in his image, then we can learn something about God by looking at the role of godly moms, and for that fact, also godly fathers. And so that's what I want to do today, and use this passage rightly, but also celebrate what we're paying attention to today, and that is the role of the moms. And so as we look at this, I'm going to just read one verse. I know that seems odd, because normally I'm going to add a bunch, and I'm making no promises that we're just going to read through this and make no pauses. We probably will, because there's some things here that I want to unpack for you to make sure you understand fully what Isaiah means. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for, again, just the privilege that we have to be in your presence together with one another. And God, today, make no mistake, we're celebrating moms as we're celebrating you. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, in that we are learning this morning through this verse, and really what Isaiah is teaching us is that you have displayed yourself through the role of godly mom. And so for those of us who've had that privilege, and for those that have that responsibility even now today, it's one, I hope, of encouragement. It's one that as we look at what you have displayed through the example of a godly mother, and probably all of those godly mothers would want this next statement to be true, and that is they are pointing people towards you. And so God, we celebrate you. We celebrate moms. And Father, as we come and read this passage this morning, I pray open our hearts just from an individual standpoint. There are many of us that aren't moms, but yet there's still something that we can learn from this passage as we celebrate our own moms, or we are paying attention to who you are and getting more clear picture of what it is that you are and what you reveal yourself in our lives. Maybe this week we're going through something where we need, as we're going to talk today, about the comforting aspect of you, Father, that we can sometimes find in that example of a godly mom. And so maybe this week we're searching for comfort. We're searching for clarity. But God, whatever it is, I pray open our hearts and our minds to you. There's no happenstance. There's no accident in you bringing us into this place today to listen to this passage. Whether we're here physically or listening to this through our live stream or podcast, whatever it may be, there's a reason that this passage is before us today. Now, God, I pray for that lost person as we do every single Sunday morning as we open your word together. I pray that what they would hear this morning is really an example of who you are and what you want for them, and how they can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by accepting what he did on the cross. So, God, bless us as we read your word. Honor you today as we celebrate you, as we celebrate moms. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we begin. This is chapter 66. Isaiah's already walked us through all of his prophecy. To kind of give you a reminder, Isaiah is one of those what we call major prophets. That doesn't mean that he's more important than the minor prophets. It just means that there's a lot he wrote. And what we celebrate Isaiah for is that he is writing during a time when the nation has been divided. They've been split. The judgment has come and they've been dispersed. In fact, we think the first part of Isaiah is him talking about that event. And then the second part where we find this chapter today, he is now warning of what will come. And not really warning, but helping them to begin to see that God would restore them. And that's why in chapter 66, and actually if you go back into chapter 65 and a little bit of chapter 64, what you find is Isaiah is laying out sort of a comforting message that God has not forgotten them, that God is going to come back to them and restore them into the right place with him and restore Israel. Now the nation, and he'll talk in our verse today about Jerusalem. He's choosing to use different examples that would resonate with the readers. And one that resonates still with us today is that role of mother. Read with me verse 13, very simple. I, God says, will comfort you there in Jerusalem. Now listen, I told you I was probably going to pause here, so I am. Jerusalem is in shambles. It's been destroyed. The walls have been knocked down and the temple is no longer when he says this. And so it is prophetic for him to say that God will comfort you in Jerusalem because the reader at that moment, the person hearing this at that moment who is Jewish, is thinking, well, that's impossible. How is that going to happen? We're not even allowed to live in Jerusalem anymore, but yet that is what Isaiah is saying. Now, it's the second part that he chooses to use, as we're going to call it, a very human relationship that everybody has had at some point in their life. And look what he says. As a comparison, as a mother comforts her child, God, he says, will comfort you. When I restore you, God says, into the nation of Israel. Now, as I've said, we're going to jump from this and now take it into 2025. Here we are in modern times, and that truth is still the same. We may not be thinking of Jerusalem this morning or thinking of a particular city. We could be thinking of our very lives and that they're in shambles and there seems to be destruction and attack. And in the good news of knowing that God is sovereign and on his throne, he has sent a reminder to us, for many of us, in the role of a godly mother. And that same level of comfort that all of us, I'm going to say all of us, have experienced to some degree. Now you may be sitting here this morning and say, well, my mom wasn't a godly mom, but God has put godly moms in your path. We have them in this church. And so you know that example. Maybe you're the godly mom and your mom wasn't. And so there's something to learn about God in the way he comforts, in the same way in a mother, in the way she comforts us, her children. So there are three things just to kind of help us to resonate and think about. It's not a long sermon this morning. You know, I know you're thinking right there, well, he says that often, and then it ends up being longer. Today, I really intend to keep this short because I know we have so much going on this afternoon. So three points to help us to sort of grab hold of this idea of the godly mother and the godly comforter of God, or the comfort of God. Number one is this. We will learn of God's comfort through the example of God's godly mother, let me get that out right, through love. Maybe I bobbled that up. Let me say it another way. We can learn something about God's comfort by observing the comfort of a mother through her love. Does that make sense? That's probably a little better. Through her love. God loves you. He loves you so much that he's created you. He's given you the opportunity to be forgiven of your sin and to be able to have a relationship with him. This is not just a relationship that takes place on Sunday morning. It's a relationship that really soaks into your life and takes up every moment, every minute of your day, and every year of your life, every month, whatever it may be. But God is present with you and you now know him. Now God has always known you. And how do we visualize that? Well, he's telling us the love of a mother now begins to construct for us sort of a realistic picture of what that looks like. What is the love of a mother? Well, she loves us unconditionally. Whether we have full head of hair or no hair at all, whether we're sometimes struggling with certain things, whether we sometimes maybe are very strong in other things. A mother's love supersedes all of those things. And we can see God in that love in the sense that God's style of love is not, listen to this, don't miss it, big point, it's not conditional. It's not conditional. It's not based on our presence. It's not based on what we did yesterday. It's not based on the hope of what we're going to do tomorrow. It's not based on what we didn't do last year or yesterday. It is simply unconditional. God loves us regardless. And one of the things that we know is godly moms love us regardless as well. And so we see that. Now, I'm going to add into this, because I think it's appropriate and it's necessary, there needs to be a challenge here. And that is to the moms of the day. And I think it's appropriate as we celebrate godly moms. It's also meant to be an opportunity for you to kind of check. Are you displaying God's love in the way that you love your children? I think you are. But sometimes that becomes a struggle. Now, I'm not a mom. You know that. But I know my mom struggled sometimes probably in exhibiting the unconditional love to me, because there were times where I was just stupid and did things that probably I didn't mean to do that hurt her or were mean or whatnot. But God still allowed me to experience that love in a mother that had unconditional love with me and was willing to look past those things. It's not circumstantial. It's not based on something that we have to do. Listen, a mom's love and God's love is the same way. It is not patterned after how much you love them, so they're going to love you more. It's not that way. As we think of it, God loves us more than we can ever possibly love Him back and probably even comprehend. A mother's love is similar in that a mom's going to love us in ways that we can never fully grasp or understand. Now, I can see it through the role of a dad. And I love my kids, and sometimes I do a better job of displaying that than at other times, to be honest. But I love them, and I didn't really understand that kind of parent love until I became a parent. I mean, when you're a child and you see it, it's different than when you become a parent. And so that love now, I think, is a God-given love. I don't think there is any human element or institution that equips us. That is part of God's identity placed on us as humans. You remember what I said a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, in that God has created us in the way that He's designed us to know Him. Let me go a step further. I think He's imprinted on us certain aspects of His divine quality. That doesn't mean we're divine, but it means natural things. Like love for a child is something that is imprinted in the way God's designed us, that when we become a parent, a mom or a dad, we now have that capacity in some small way to understand the love that God has for us and to be able to love in that way that God has imprinted. I think morals and character and right and wrong, I mean, I don't know that any of us ever, now I say that, probably my mom, if we're talking about moms, probably disciplined me, and along the way, well, I don't think probably, she did discipline me, okay? And there were times where she was trying to teach me not to do certain things. But there were other things that I was born and knew those were wrong. Well, how do you explain that? There's almost what sometimes we'll call a moral compass. Nobody taught you that. There may be particular aspects of it that a mom or a dad teach you, but you're imprinted with that when you're born into this world. Nobody had to tell you that stealing was wrong, hopefully. Nobody had to teach you that murder is wrong. Those are things that are imprinted because that's the divine expectation, is that we understand those things. We see that not just in the role of the mother, but I think we see that just in our own lives through love. There's a challenge here. Moms need to love their kids the way God loves them, and we, as non-moms, need to love those around us the way that we see moms, godly moms, loving us, and even bigger than that, God loving us. Now, I've already said it's impossible to fully grasp and understand this, but we're attempting every single day to learn more how to love those around us as we're learning to love God more. every single day. So we can see the divine comforter through the role of the mom through love. Number two is this. I love this one because sometimes this is one of the ones that we struggle with. But we can see God through the role of the mother in the aspect of their presence. That's another thing. Man, I don't know about your story. Man, I don't know about your mother, but I know about my mom, and she's never abandoned me. She's never decided, well, that's it. You've crossed the line. That's it. I've written you off. Now, I know there may be moms that could do that, but my mom didn't, and God is the same way. God's never going to write us off. And in that instance, God is present with us. If we're talking about the comforting nature of God, love is certainly important to understand. That's what undergirds it. It's what empowers all of what we're talking about as far as the comforting aspect. But his presence has to be factored into that too. What does Jesus tell us before he ascends to the right hand of the Father? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? That's God's promise to us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never get to a point to where he's too busy. And he's going to be like, well, I don't have time right now. I'll get back with you later. That's not God. And most of our examples of moms is, even when it's not convenient, they make time for us, don't they? They'll listen to us. At least my mom's that way. I can call and she can be in the middle of something, and typically she will stop and we'll talk. And so you can see the reminder, if you will, of God's presence, the promise of that, in the comfort aspect of that relationship with the mom. But God never leaves us. He's always present. He's here today. He'll be with you this afternoon. Just because we come into a sanctuary doesn't mean that God is encompassed only in this space. He's with you when you walk out the door. He's with you when you walk in the door of your house and you go about your day, as he will be with all of us. I mean, God can't be confined to one space. We acknowledge him here, perhaps. We come with the intention of worship, perhaps, here. Maybe there are fewer distractions here, and maybe it's easier to do those things because others come with similar sort of goals to worship God. But make no mistake, you can worship him tomorrow in your car as you're driving to work. You can worship him when you are, I'm going to step out on this one, when you're disciplining your children. You can worship him when you're trying to figure out what the decision I need to make here to make things sort of work the way that they need to work. He's present with us. And we need to understand that the same role. And listen, what we're doing today is not really a stretch, because you see all through Scripture this same premise. That God has given us the glorious examples of those around us to remind us of who he is. And as we talk about godly people in our life, certainly the gift of a godly mom is one of those that just can't be calculated, right? And the fact that we can see that even from afar, maybe it's not our relationship with our mom, but we can see that from afar in the way that godly moms operate, and the way they care, and the way they are present, and all of those things. See, there's something here. And then we can turn around and translate that into the way that not only just that we deal with our own kids, but the way that we deal with those around us. The way I see it, if God has charged us to be like him, then we need to love like him. We need to be present like him. And then the third one is this. And this one's a little harder. I get it. Because we're all human and we struggle sometimes with this. But listen, God has taught us this. And I think we can see this in the role of a godly mom. So let's review here. We've said we can see God through the role of the godly mom in their love. We've said it through their presence. And then thirdly and finally is through their forgiveness. I would say it may be better this way, their capacity to forgive. Now, there have been times that probably you've upset your mom. I have too. And there may be a moment, as a parent now I realize this, I need to, you know, I learned that count to 10 before you respond sometimes when you're angry. Well, as a dad, sometimes that may be 10 hours, to be honest with you, to be more realistic. Or it could be something where I need to take a break and sort of take a breather. You know what I'm doing then? I'm praying, Lord, help me to respond in a way that honors you. Nothing wrong with that. But in the end, the same goal is achieved, I hope, and that is forgiveness. Doesn't really matter what happened, but we have the charge to make sure that we forgive. And no matter what our kids do to us, parents, I'm going to talk to you here. No matter what our kids do to us, we're still their mom or dad. I'm going to include dads into this. It doesn't matter whether we think they're worthy of forgiveness or not. We need to forgive them because we're still the ones, I believe, that have a responsibility to make sure that we're maintaining that relationship. Now, let me speak a little more frankly. I'm now the dad of adult children. The rules change at some point. I don't know when, but at some point they changed. And now it's not just trying to figure out how to protect them, although that happens a little bit still, and making sure that they're fed, watered, and they grow, okay? I mean, I hate to be that way, but that's part of the responsibility when you have small children. But when they become adults, it's about maintaining a relationship. It's about not butting in. It's about letting them have the freedom to make choices, even when I know from experience that might not be the best choice. And I might want to step in and say something, but I'm learning every day to not say something, but let them experience what they need to experience. It's the rules change. And I will tell you, I was the one young father saying, man, when my kids get older, I don't have to buy baby food or diapers. I mean, we don't have to carry the whole house with us when we go traveling because you got to have all those things that you take with young children. And I'm thinking, man, the day they get to be adults, that's going to just be easy. I'm here to tell you it's a lot harder. If you have small kids, what you're experiencing right now is a lot easier than what you're going to experience when they're adults. You don't have to worry about feeding them and watering them and all those things, but there are a whole slew of other responsibilities that come into that. And so with that, there is a lot of forgiving moments. Me asking for forgiveness as a dad, but also moms asking that, but also learning to forgive even when we tried to warn them. Maybe they still did what we told them not to do, or maybe they've said something out of anger, but it's our responsibility if we are, stick with me here, if we have always believed as a parent that we're a role model of godliness for our kids, then it's on us to step up and be that godly person and forgive and do the things that need to be done to mend those relationships. I'm just telling you, I hear of so many broken relationships between parents. I'm thankful that I have a relationship with my kids. I'm thankful that I still have a relationship with my mom. And the challenges are there, I get it, but it is one of those things that we have a responsibility to be able to do that and understand that forgiveness. Because listen to this. God forgave you of your sin. It's not that he's going to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. And what we learn from Scripture is he remembers that no more. I mean, when we stand in judgment and our life is laid out, God has the capacity to remember every detail of your life. But he has chosen to forget the sin. Why? Because you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And when he thinks of you, he sees Christ and the purity of Christ. Now, that's hard to comprehend. It's almost impossible. But it happens. And so he chooses to truly forgiveness. What is God's style forgiveness? Throwing it as far as the east is from the west. That's far. Okay? You could just summarize it and say, God doesn't remember it anymore. He doesn't keep account of it. He doesn't keep a little book. He forgets it. Why is that? Because he loves us. He has a plan for our life. He's present with us, as we've said. He is moving us to grow deeper in our walk with him. And he's forgiven us so that now we have the capacity to truly experience true forgiveness because of that. And now we can forgive those around us, including the moms. And experiencing that and being able to point our children to God through the way that we respond to things, the way that we live our lives, the way that we take on, I believe, the God-given responsibility of being a mom, a dad, a parent. And it's one that every single day we should wake up and understand the importance of it. And being able to help our kids to hopefully not make the same mistakes we've made. Hopefully go further than we're able to go and become more godly than us maybe ever could have been. All in our intention to do what God has given us the responsibility to do, both moms and dads. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of this and for this particular verse. It's not even a passage. And God, I pray as we return back to what we said in the very beginning, there may be some who are here or maybe listening to this or watching this who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So my prayer for them this morning is that through this, as we celebrate moms, we also are trying to understand you better and your ability to comfort us. I pray your Spirit has spoken into their heart. And they're at that point, and I'm sure they've heard these things before, perhaps. Maybe this is the first time. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Your Spirit is speaking into their heart that you are calling them into a relationship. Now, our intention is not to embarrass anybody. If they're present here, then we're going to have a time of commitment. I'm going to ask them to come and just share with me that they're ready to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then we're going to connect them with somebody that can help further answer questions and explain what that means. If they're at home watching this or listening to this at some time, then I would encourage them to reach out to us here at the church. They can go through the website, they can call us on the phone, whatever. Or if they know somebody who's a believer, reach out to them and tell them, hey, I'm now really feeling like I want to have this relationship I keep hearing about with God. And so our hope here is that they begin that process of discovering truly what Jesus did on the cross, Father, for them. What you did through Jesus in allowing them to have the forgiveness that we talked about. And so our hope is that they would be led by you to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now the rest of us, as believers, it may be just us kind of reacquainting. Maybe there's some forgiveness issues we need to deal with. Maybe there's some issues that we have anger toward our parent or parents over something. Maybe that's now becoming sort of a disruption in our ability to love our own kids the way that we've talked about this morning. But God, I pray in the end, all of what we've said this morning, what we've read in your word, is not to stop at just the role of the mom, but to go further and find you. And that's the intention, is that we see you in the roles and the people that you've put in our lives, and some, many, our moms. So God, I pray that you would bless us. I pray whatever decisions need to be made this morning, they would be made to honor you and no other reason. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of response?